fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tim Spencer sitting in for John Moore, coming at you live from the beautiful city of Rome, Georgia. Visiting my son down here with my wife, and wow, beautiful place. Got a beautiful home. I'm so very proud of him. Anyway, this first hour is going to be open lines. I guess the big news is Mr. Trump selecting his nominee for the Supreme Court. I briefly saw a thing come across my phone about it. That's the only reason I even know it happened. I know nothing about the man or woman that was selected. Anybody like to fill me in, please give me a call, 800-313-9443. Yeah, we didn't get in here until about 2 o'clock this morning Eastern time into my son's house. So I did not look at the news. He does not have internet access here. He just moved into this beautiful little place. So I don't know what's going on this morning, but feel free to give me a call. My engineer just sent me a message saying that all 12 kids and their coach were successfully rescued from the cave in Thailand. I never did figure out how they got in there to start with, but they got them all out, which is a good thing. Apparently, all successfully. Apparently, from what I understand, one rescuer died in the effort in the past week or so. Again, I have little information about it. So, anyway, folks, like I said, open lines this hour, 800-313-9443. I believe we'll have Leon Green the second hour, but I don't know that for sure. Give us a call. We'll talk about anything you want. Anyway, let's see. What else we got going on? Okay. Oh, hey, I remember one thing I want to tell everybody. John Moore's got a new DVD out from his speech in Prague, Czechoslovakia, last July, right about a year ago this time. Or not Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, excuse me, folks. I'm living back in the 1980s. Anyway, it's 2 hour, I think it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes long, and it's his entire presentation in Prague. You know, by the way, folks, he was awarded the Nobel Peace, or not, no, yeah, I wish, the Prague Peace Prize. And, you know, I saw a picture of it, beautiful thing, not anything terribly huge, but a very beautiful little piece of work made of crystal. I don't know if the DVD has the actual presentation on it or not, but I do know that, of the Peace Prize, that is, I do know that it has his presentation there at the Great Hall in full. I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. Hopefully I'll get to here soon. The mail system didn't do what we wanted it to do, and I had to leave before the mail came yesterday at back in Salem. All right. Let me see. What else we got going on? Well, that looks like about it that I have scheduled here to talk about. I'm sorry for being so unprepared today, folks. It's kind of hard to do things in the car where you're trying to conserve on bandwidth because of cell phone bills getting so high anyway. I really don't have a rundown on the news today. Dan did his best to give me something, and he did. Let's see. If you hear noise in the background, I'm sitting here at my son's house in Rome, Georgia, and I guess somebody's doing some work. Sounds like they got one of them big machines you hook on the back of a truck that shreds tree branches and all. Good for them. They're getting their place cleaned up. That's fantastic. Anyway, call-in number is 800-313-9443. I was talking to my son. He's sitting out here with me this morning. Apparently, he's got to go back to Afghanistan in January. You got to do what you got to do to feed your family, folks. That's all I can say about it. I wish you didn't have to go. But, he was also telling me that last night that they're finally cracking down on some of the waste, fraud, and abuse going on in Afghanistan that's going on to the tune of tens to perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars a day. Fields of Humvees, and I'm assuming trucks parked and that have never been used, huge fuel shipments just disappearing. You know, folks, if there was a valid reason for us to be in Afghanistan, I would be all for it. But, and I'm very, very supportive of the military, of course. But I just can't find a valid reason for us to be there in my mind. We've given the Chinese basically mineral rights to the country. I don't know what's happening on the opium trade, but somebody's getting rich off of it. It sure hasn't been stopped. Why are we there? If you got any good, you know, any ideas for a valid reason for us to be there, why it's in our national interest, give me a call. Explain to me why I'm wrong. Again, 800-313-9443. What else we got going on? Yeah, I agree. Dan just sent me a note, said news cycle is kind of dead this morning. Yeah, I agree from what little I've seen of it. Well, thank you for trying, Dan. Greatly appreciate it. Well, guys, I don't know what I'm going to do today for sure, but it sure is a beautiful one here in sunny Rome, Georgia. It is truly a beautiful morning. Whatever I'm going to do, it's going to be fun, though. I know that. I get to see my son, who I haven't seen in a year and a half, 2 years, and his family, and we're going to do something, even if it's wrong. I'm looking forward to it. But other than that, things are going good. Things are going really good. Okay. Man, I wish I had a computer in front of me. One of the things I did notice in the news before I left yesterday was, maybe it was the day before, is where the price had to be towards the end of summer, beginning of fall. Guys, one thing I would like to comment on, and I might, if I did it yesterday or did it Saturday, I apologize for repeating myself. Right now, prices are relatively low. Everything's expensive. But right now, prices are relatively low on a good deal of items. Heating oil, you know, stuff like that that you'll need for winter. I saw some winter clothes on sale back in Salem where we lived that were just incredibly cheap. you might need for winter. You know, maybe not dress up and go out to eat type items, but, you know, work clothes and all. You know, a good flannel shirt for 50 cents or a dollar, you can't beat that with a stick. So, you know, as I always say, you know, you shop for winter in the middle of summer, and you shop for summer during the middle of winter. Save a lot of money that way. So it's something you might want to put in the back of your head, you know, just to be on the lookout for. I had one gentleman, I forgot his name now, contact me after last Saturday's show, wanting to know if I knew anything about scrapping. In other words, taking other people's trash and turning it into money. Well, folks, I've been doing this on and off for 40 years. I don't talk about it much. There's a lot of people, especially city people, say, hey, guys, you got three people's dumpsters and trash piles. Yeah, I do. I found everything from working lawnmowers, multiple working computers, literally one time 55 pounds of what's called clean brass, and at $3.60 a pound, that adds up. Yeah, I do that. That's another way for you to make a little money on the side. If you really want to know any of the ins and outs of it, you know, go to ruralsurvival.show and send me an email, and I'll get back to you, and I'll give you some resources where you can learn to make some money yourself. It's not hard. Now, it won't be until the first of the month before I answer you back, because I don't have my big computer right this minute. Well, I might get to it sooner. I have it with me, but I don't have any access to the Internet where I'm at right now. But give me a call. Or not a call, I mean an email. And let's see where we can go. Hey, we got Dan in Missouri. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
How you doing today,
coming
buddy?
All right.
Oh yeah, you're coming through. William and Charlie.
Great. I'm going to talk just a little bit about one of my pet peeves, and
okay, go for it.
I can't get anybody to even give me a reason why it has to be this way, and nobody will even suggest how to fix it. And
okay.
I'll get there in just a second. You know, you keep busy around your place. I know you do, and I keep busy around my place. And I've always mm-hmm. got a list that seems like it grows every day. And sometimes you look at that list, and it just gets overwhelming, like, what am I going to do next? What's the most important?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. And it can almost get overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
But then the way I kind of end up attacking it, I say, you know, it's kind of a joke between me and some of my buddies. I'm going to do something even if it's wrong. But the reality is we don't try to mess things up. We just say, you just start with something. And you turn around in an hour and you look back and you go, hey, I made some progress. And you kind of pat yourself on the back and then you keep going. And by the end of the day, you go, well, that was better than sitting on my butt all day. I got something done. And exactly. And then that gives you the encouragement to the next morning when you wake up, attack something else. And if you look back in a few months, you go, wow, I got a lot done. Way more than if I'd have just let it overwhelm me and, you know, sat in the chair.
Right.
So that's kind of where I'm going with this. I'm going to bring up a problem that I lived, and I'm sure you lived it too when you were in the military, and you don't have to be in the military to see this. You just have to be involved in government pretty much at any level. And I would have never really believed it if I hadn't have lived it. And I don't even know if there's a name for it other than a whole sentence. I call it government spend it or lose it, or budget spend it or lose it.
Right, and our budgets, yes.
And you've seen that, I'm sure, haven't you?
Oh, yes, very. Oh, absolutely, I've seen it.
Well, in your estimation, just give me a wild guess, what percentage of budgets, now this is a broad question, I'm getting to a point here, just bear with me. What percentage of the budget do you think is squandered unnecessarily because of this asinine system that I call budget spend it or lose it?
I would say probably between one-fifth and one-fourth, Dan. That would be my guess. That high, yeah.
I was rounding it off. You're right there in the same ballpark. I was rounding it off 10 to 30%. Is just wasted. Now they can justify what they're buying. It's just that they don't really need it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, when I was actually active, Dan, I was on a submarine. Okay. Years of experience, they know exactly what a submarine needs to go on a patrol. Most of it, there was very little waste, almost none. In fact, that's probably the one branch of service that has the least, because you can only fit so much on a submarine.
Sure.
And I saw next to no waste. However, I have seen literally pallets of brand new weapons kicked overboard from surface ships and stuff like that, pallets of ammunition, just brand new, still in the Cosmoline over the side. You know, and that was back in the early 80s. You know, I've seen stuff like that. They found they had one ship they were going to use for a museum, and they were unloading it there at Charleston, not on the naval base, but part of the port of Charleston. They literally found storerooms that had World War II Scott Thompson submachine guns still in the Cosmoline. Loaded them on a barge, took them out, and dumped them.
That might be worth trying to find again.
I don't know.
I imagine salt water would still screw up.
I saw them on a barge. I didn't see them dump them.
Yeah, I understand. So
I have no idea where they're at.
My point to all this is we've got some big problems in this country and in this world. And I know that, and they're overwhelming, some of them. And it seems like no matter where you turn, you can't come up with any kind of a solution to even start correcting the problem. But this one, to me, and I'm ignorant, I've never had a finance class or an accounting class. To me, this one's a simple thing. And I've actually went to the university here local in the business department where they teach people how to run businesses. And I'm sure that has to do with finances. It have to. And I talked to the PhD in that department, the head guy, and I asked him if there was anybody anywhere that teaches these young, brilliant minds, I hope they're brilliant, how to do this, how to run a department financially. And he said, well, yeah, we teach them. I said, does anybody teach them budget, spend it, or lose it? And he started and had a smirk on his face, and he went, no. And I said, is there any chance that you don't know exactly what I'm talking about? He said, I know exactly what you're talking about. Nobody teaches it. I said, anywhere on the planet, did some old gray-haired fart write a book, and he's revered, and they just feel like they need to follow this, you know? And he goes, no, nobody teaches it. I said, then why is it like that when they get out there? I'm sure that's just like running into a brick wall because they've probably got some common sense. I hope that's not totally dead. And then they take a position to where they're taught how to do something that's just asinine. And he says, that's a good question. And, you know, I've talked to a number of people that are in political positions just to try to get them, I can explain it pretty quick, and they know what I'm talking about. And I say, what can we do about this? Can we fix it? And they all say, well, Dan, you know, it's been that way a long time. And I tend to go,
the problem.
Wrong answer. You just lost my vote.
Yeah.
They won't stand up and try to fix it. Yeah. And nobody teaches it. So my plea is to the listening audience, if somebody can tell me a good reason why it still has to be that way, I got a feeling they're so dadgum proud or running scared that if they fix it, then somebody's going to go, well, why didn't you fix it 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago? Because it's been going on longer than that, probably. And that's a hell of a lot of money that gets squandered.
Yeah, I don't know how long it has been. It's been ever since I was active duty, which started in 1980, late 79, early 80, somewhere in there. It's been going on that long for sure. And
it
I don't
just
know
looks
how much
like,
earlier it went.
I contend that a one-page memo sent to all department heads could fix it. And I'm ignorant as far as... education. All that memo would have to say, Tim, is, dear department heads, don't run scared the last quarter of the fiscal year. Don't run out and spend up your budget on things you don't really need. Just leave it set there. Next year, when you open up your budget, that balance will still be there. And then and then after a year or two, if you're still running a surplus, we may take half of it at the most, and we'll dump that back into the general fund and give it to a department that really needs it. I mean, let's fix some of the simple things. I mean, it's hard to find more money. I know that, because it comes from us, the taxpayers, I guess, or we just go deeper in debt. So why don't we spend what we've got more wisely?
I agree. I'm on your side.
And I'm making this plea to your listening audience. If somebody can tell us why we can't fix it, why we haven't fixed it, and then why don't we fix it? There's got to be probably somebody out there that's at a higher level of understanding of this than I. And it just irks me, because I saw this. I was at the Sergeant Major's Academy in Fort Bliss, Texas, when they started it up. I was one of the illustrators there. And I saw waste that just literally made me sick to my stomach.
Oh, yeah.
And it's probably nothing compared to crates of ammunition and guns going overboard, but it was absolutely unnecessary, unpatriotic, everything that America is supposed to stand for.
Right.
All right, that's my piece here. And it's a small problem, but one piece of paper to each department head could fix it, my opinion. So somebody call in and straighten me out, all right? Why we have to keep squandering our taxpayers' dollars with budget, spend it or lose it. What an asinine system.
I agree.
All right, buddy, I'm not whining at you. I'm looking for answers. Oh, by the way, we've got a representative here in Missouri that's got an office right here in the town near where I live. I've been there 3 times in the last 6 months, so I haven't been aggravating them a lot. And I have, as kindly as I know, demanded an answer from the representative. I have not gotten one phone call, and I was very nice about it. When I say demand, I say, look, tell me what's wrong with my proposal and why somebody in Missouri Congress isn't standing up trying to make this happen. No answer for 6 months.
Well,
that man's losing my vote real quick.
Well, let me ask you a question. We're talking about a state representative, right?
Yeah, but it's like that in Missouri too, right?
Yeah.
Budget, spend it or lose it. Don't they have that here in the state?
I don't know, Dan. I wanted to say yes, but, you know, as I think about it, I truly don't know.
Well, I know they have to work in the black. They can't work in the red like federal government, right?
Right.
But they still get budgets. And I've talked to people at various positions in the state, you know, social workers, whatever, and I asked them, I said, in your department, do you have a budget? Yeah. Near the end of the quarter, last quarter of the year, does your boss run out and just spend it all up? Well, some of them say, we're always short. We never have enough to do that. And a few others have said, yeah, if there's a penny left, we spend it.
Okay.
So I don't know, man. It just aggravates me that nobody's even wanting to address it. You never hear about it on the news, rarely. And if you get somebody that could make a difference, they say, well, you know, it's been that way a long time.
Yeah.
Well, that's a non-answer.
And they're right. Yeah, they are right. It's been that way a long time. But it's been a problem a long time. Why not fix it? You know?
I really sincerely...
would probably get his picture on the $100 bill and boot Ben Franklin off if he fixed it.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, 10 to 30% of our government's spending... Now, I know who would be upset over this. That's the vendors that are supplying the goods.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They start salivating that last quarter of the year because they know the orders are going to start rolling in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a so we're, I think it was last Saturday. It might have been Saturday before then. A man called up and asked basically the same question you are, but instead of just on a monetary front, you know, geopolitical front, why are we doing this? And my answer was simple. Follow the money. And you'll get every answer you need. Just follow the money.
I'm sure the vendors are just, you know, they're mad at me right now for even bringing it up, because that's a gravy train for them. That's a bonus.
Yeah, it is.
And I've seen warehouses stocked full of stuff that never gets used, you know?
Right. In their minds, I know some vendors, and that's the reason I can speak intelligently. I've got or had some friends at Raytheon and places like that, and they said, you know, and we've talked about this. No, flat out, say, Tim, it's not hurting anybody. It's not costing anybody any money. I said, what do you call all people paying their taxes every year? Well, they got to pay them anyway.
But it don't need to be wasted unnecessarily or spent unnecessarily.
I'm just telling you the way they look at it.
Yep, I hear you. All right, well, that's a proposal to the anybody out there that can come up with why they don't fix it, and why they don't fix it. Thanks a lot, Tim. I appreciate your show and you taking over from
here. Thank you. All right, Dan, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You have a good one, buddy.
You too, sir.
Bye bye. Bye bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, call in number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. The rest of this hour is open lines. Call in. We'll talk about anything you want. To the best of my knowledge, Leon Green will be here second hour. Always a very interesting guest on the show. But anyway, give us a call. You know, Dan's got some serious points about this spend it or lose it thing. You know, I've seen it a lot. When I was in municipal government, I didn't see it nearly as much because money was so tight. I did prepare budgets for my department, my one-man department, Animal Control, City of Salem, Missouri. But I was never turned down for anything that was a genuine need, nor was I ever encouraged to spend money that, you know, for stuff I really didn't need. So on a municipal level, at least small town Missouri, and that's my experience with it, there was no effort, you know, on the spend it or lose it thing. In fact, it was really just the opposite, try not to spend it. But I was treated fairly there as a department head. We should be coming upon bottom of the hour break here in just a minute. I'm not 100% how sure the accuracy of this clock is on this tablet I'm using that belongs to my wife. I don't have a computer set up, so I'm talking with our engineer through Skype on a tablet that, on and off, I'm having a hard time focusing on. But anyway, everything's working out good. All right, I wish I could say what was in the news cycle this morning. Somebody wants to tell me what's going on. I'd love to hear it. I haven't even really looked at my phone. I got so little sleep last night. I got up, made coffee, and got set up for the show. Our engineer, Dan, tried to tell me what was going on. He says it's a dead news day, and in a way, that's good, folks. I like it when it's a dead news day, in a way. It means nothing real bad has happened overnight. So that works for me. Anyway, call-in number is 800-313-9443. Give us a call. We'll talk about anything you want. I'd like to invite folks to join my wife, Lori, and I, and Rick Schmidt, on the Rural Survival Show every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till noon Central. Here's our break, folks. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner, $70 off retail, and a mattress pad, 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Of July, year of our Lord, 2018. This is Tim Spencer from the Rural Survival Show, sitting in for John Moore this week. Hope everybody's having a good day. Before we go to our next caller, a couple of quick announcements. I'd like to encourage you to visit thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. John's got a new product up there, brand new DVD. It's worth you checking out. Also on the website, he's got the energy cleaners for sale that my friend Tom Berryhill manufactures. Might want to take a look at that, too. Really good items. Okay, next we're going to go to James in Long Island on line 11. Good morning, James.
Yes, good morning. I noticed in your prior segment before the commercial break, you mentioned that it was a slow news day. Well, let me mention something that should be the top story virtually every day from here on, and that is all-out nuclear war.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah, and, well, you will recall that in 2014, the events in Ukraine...
When
a legitimately elected government headed by... Viktor Yanukovych was toppled
yes.
By a largely U.S.-sponsored coup, although the other Western governments were involved, especially Britain, you know, Britain, France, and even Germany.
You're correct.
You know, which led to a rapid events in Crimea, where the Crimeans chose to secede from Ukraine and eventually join with Russia. Now, what was not reported in Western governments or Western news outlets was that in the summer of 2014, roughly 6 to 7 months after the initial events in Ukraine, Vladimir Putin went literally to a monastery, to a Russian Orthodox monastery, and he stayed there for several days. What was happening was the military.
About that.
Yeah, the Russian military, headed by their chief of staff, General Rutskoy, they wanted an immediate all-out nuclear strike on the U.S. Not only on the U.S., but also England and probably France.
Right.
There was a significant element of the Russian military that wanted an immediate strike because they felt, look, we're dealing with psychopaths. Any foreign nation that would, on Russia's doorstep, now this is a major nuclear power with the most advanced intercontinental ballistic missiles on the planet.
Right.
Right now, they are deploying the Sarmat missile, which carries 14 independently targeted warheads with 40 megatons of power each.
Right.
A single Sarmat ICBM will wipe out the entire eastern, all the eastern cities on the U.S. eastern coast. That means Boston through Orlando will be wiped out immediately.
Well, Jeff,
and there is no defense.
Hang on, buddy. Hang on. Quick question.
Yeah.
Just for clarification. Oh. Excuse me. I apologize. Oh. Bug went down the wrong way. Now, are we saying 40 megaton or 400 megaton? Because a 40 megaton does not seem quite large enough to do what you're saying. Did we lose a zero somewhere or something?
No, well, in other words, there's 14 independently targeted
warheads. Yeah, there's 14 MIRVs
on each Sarmat missile, right?
Right.
Now,
so you're saying
40 megatons.
One missile, not one warhead.
Exactly. Well,
okay,
14, in other words, 14 megatons.
Apologies.
Right, 14 warheads carrying a power of 40 megatons each. Now, you figure all the major cities on the East Coast, right? You start with Boston, then you go down to New York, right? You go down to Philadelphia, Washington, that's four, right? Then you go down to Atlanta, that's five. You have Orlando, you have Miami.
Right.
That's seven, right? But
a 40 megaton for the major ports.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm talking about the major cities with the major populations, centers.
Right.
Now, a 40 megaton warhead, that would destroy, in other words, everything within a 600 mile radius would be incinerated. So you have, let's say, 14. You can calculate it this way, right? 14 warheads times 600 miles. Okay?
Right.
That's virtually 6,000 miles.
Right. Buddy, I'm
not sure. In other words, everything on the East Coast would be incinerated.
Well, I roger that. Everything of any consequence would absolutely be incinerated. That I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering about somebody's math.
Yeah, all you need is three of these. You need three of these missiles, right? And they could wipe out the East Coast with one. They could wipe out the West Coast with the other. From Portland to or from Seattle down to San Diego, everything would be incinerated.
Right.
And then all you need is one missile to target the Chicago Detroit area. That's the industrial heartland of the North Midwest. With three missiles, they could wipe out the entire U.S. because everything else is inconsequential.
Right.
Now, what happens?
I would say they would need to target the Gulf Coast too.
Yeah.
To limit our ability to import and export.
So here you have Vladimir Putin, right? In July, August of 2014, pressured by his military that they need a nuclear strike because they're dealing with psychopaths, that any nation that is willing to carry out a coup on Russia's doorstep. Now, don't forget, 800 A.D., the Kiev Rus, this is the beginning of Russian civilization. It all started 800 A.D., with the Kiev Rus. And Ukraine, this is the cradle of Russian civilization. And the U.S. and other NATO countries have the gall to carry out a coup right on Russia's doorstep. Now, what saved the day in those hectic days of the summer of 2014 was the Archbishop Kirill.
Okay.
He influenced Vladimir Putin. He told him, look, we cannot attack now. We have not been attacked, and God will not give us success. So we have to wait until we're attacked or a greater a crisis of greater urgency occurs, and then you can respond with an all-out attack.
Right.
In other words, the Patriarch Kirill, he saved the day.
Right.
He saved 330 million Americans from being completely incinerated.
Well, I personally like the guy from everything I've read about him. I mean, I don't know him personally, but his public persona, I appreciate. You know,
well, eventually, in other words, it isn't time yet. In other words, God did not allow this to happen. Just like dozens of times, God prevented nuclear war, for example, the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. Able Danger, a so-called NATO military exercise of 1983, when there was an actual, a plan by Western elites to nuke the Soviet Union in 1980, but God didn't allow it because there was a spy planted in the NATO hierarchy that was spying for the East Germans, who alerted the Soviets, and then when the Western powers that be, right, that control the Western alliance, when they realized they could not achieve a military surprise, they did not nuke the Soviet Union. Now, don't forget what preceded these events of Able Danger, flight that went over the Kola Peninsula was shot down by a Russian Su-15 interceptor.
Right.
Now, the same thing happened when a Malaysian aircraft flew in that region. It was shot down by actually two Su-25s. Ukrainian fighters went up and they used 30-millimeter cannon to shoot that airplane down. And I think a few days before that, John Brennan, the American psychopath that was the head of the CIA, because Vladimir Putin was coming back from a trip to South America, I believe, and he was going to fly along those routes. And John Brennan knew this, and he went to Ukraine, and he told them, they planned an assassination on Vladimir Putin. Now, what happened was that virtually the same color scheme the Malaysian aircraft had, and the Ukrainian pilots were confused, and they thought that they were actually targeting Vladimir Putin's airplane.
Pieces to this. James, hang on just a second. Now, I heard bits and pieces of what you're saying.
Yeah.
But now, a couple years later, 3 years later, what do we know for fact versus rumor then? What do we actually know as fact? I don't know. You've obviously got good sources. You're obviously well informed. I think some of your math is wrong, but that's nothing against you personally. But where are you getting your information that we're passing on as fact here?
Well, I am Croatian, so I
all right. Well,
I understand Russian, but also even Mike Rivero. Well, this was reported in military circles,
right?
You know, in Eastern and Central Europe, but also Mike Rivero. You know, he mentioned this a couple of times on his program that it,
right,
that it was literally and even during the you know, during the investigation of the Dutch, the Russians gave him radar data, right, that had two Su-25s, you know, trailing the Malaysian aircraft just before the crash.
Right.
But the interesting thing is that, that John Brennan was in Ukraine only a few days. So this was probably an assassination attempt by the CIA against Vladimir Putin. And I think, you know, and God saved Vladimir Putin because he has other plans for him.
Well, I absolutely agree with you, James, that God does have his hand in everything. I will give you that 1,000%.
Yeah.
But
now,
go ahead, James.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The one thing I wanted to say is that, yes, I agree with you. God has his hand in everything. I absolutely agree with that. The other thing I'd want to say, from my work with the agency, from other family members' work with the agency, if they really intend to truly do something besides send a message, they don't fail. Now, that I'm telling you from experience. If they want to send a message, they'll make it look like they're trying to do something. If they want to actually do it, they'll do it, and it will work every time. Now, that's
right,
personal, up close, been there, done that, got the T-shirt experience.
Yes, but one thing they cannot do, they cannot override God's plan.
No, you're right about that. That cannot be done. I absolutely agree with you. Well,
yeah, now
James,
I
really appreciate the call, buddy, but we got to get going.
I understand. Well, listen, thank you for the time.
All right. Thank you, James. A good call.
All right. Take
appreciate
care.
It.
Have a good show.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up on a break here in just a couple of minutes. A couple of housekeeping items I'd like to get out of the way real quick. First off, if you're free Saturday morning, please join us right here on RBN, same channel you're listening to now, from 8 a.m. to 10 Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. I don't think we have any listeners in California, but if we do, you can figure out the Pacific time zone. Anyway, inside joke here. Listen to the Rural Survival Show. It's with me, my wife, my good friend, Rick Schmidt, very, very knowledgeable man, bordering on genius. And we have a good time. There's no set rules. We cut up a lot. We joke a lot. We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of callers, and everybody gets put in their 2 cents. Occasionally we'll have a theme to the show or something like that. Last week or the week before, we talked about knife making, but we had people call on many, many different subjects. Rick and I and Lori are capable of going from anywhere from gardening to geopolitics to macroeconomics, even some microeconomics, tractor repair, self-sufficiency, food storage. We talk about it all, and we have a really good time. So I'd really like to invite you guys to join us there. Like I said, it is every Saturday. We also have our show on YouTube. Just search the Rural Survival Show on YouTube. And I hope if you do like the show that you subscribe. And another note real quick, I am not in a position where I can upload this show's videos to YouTube like I normally do all the time. Later today, I might be in a position where I'm able to. If I am, I will download them, process them, and start getting them posted to YouTube tonight for this week. I don't want to get behind because it takes so long to do it, but we'll see what happens. I am going to do my best to get that done, John, if you're listening. Okay, as far as that Malaysian airliner coming down, I think that James might have had some bad information. Yes, it's been proven their boot system took down that plane. I do not believe it was a 30-millimeter gun that took down Malaysia's Flight 17. It absolutely could have been, but I have seen nothing to indicate that. It just, you know, even though I admit the Ukrainians are not the nicest people in the world, well, we'll continue this after break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes, 800-313-9443.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look and how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tim Spencer from the Rural Survival Show, sitting in for John Moore on this, a beautiful Tuesday, the 10th day of July in the year of our Lord, 2018. Hope everybody's having a good morning. Best of my knowledge, next hour we're going to have Leon Green on. Hope so. Calling number is 800-313-9443. As I was saying before the last break, we are having a minor difficulty getting this show's YouTube videos up. I'm hoping to get that corrected today. found out I do have Wi-Fi access where I'm at. I just haven't pulled the computer out. So we'll get that done. Came in at 2 o'clock in the morning last night or thereabouts, and just unloaded what the bare necessities and then got up this morning for this show. So I haven't got all that done yet, but I will. I will. And I'm looking forward to a very fun day with my son and his family as soon as this show is over. So we're going to do something, even if it's wrong, as they say. We'll have fun. Okay. Anyway, let me see. What else we got going on? Let me look at my tablet, see if anybody else has called in. Nope. Not yet. And by the way, a personal thank you for Dan. You know what you did. I appreciate it very much. Okay. Anyway, like I said, next hour we're supposed to have Leon Green. I don't know if we've got him or not. I know his schedule is kind of very, what's the word I'm looking for? In other words, some weeks he can do the show and some weeks he can't. And I didn't find out ahead of time like I should have because I was on the road, you know, whether or not he was going to be on today. But if he isn't on, we'll just continue to have open lines. If he is on, we'll still take your calls and comments. He's an expert in, well, what I would consider an expert in essential oils. Unfortunately, my wife is still asleep. She drove the whole way yesterday. And she's the real expert in the family on essential oils, not me. But anyway, we'll make it work. And if you got a question and if Leon's on, you can call him at 800-313 and we'll talk about it. So we'll make it work, guys. Regardless. Anyway, let's see what time it is. It is 09:56, so don't want to create dead air. What is there to talk about right now? Oh, I know what. Out in California, this homeless thing. Watched a video the other night with the background music to America the Video. Or America, then America the Beautiful. Young man riding a bicycle showed his picture through one of the homeless areas in California. Miles of tents, shacks, drug users laying out on the ground, stuff like that. Guys, that's what America as a whole, I'm afraid, will look like if everybody keeps pushing for this socialist direction. Be careful who you vote for. Be careful who you vote for. That's all I can say. All right, folks, here's our top of the hour break. We'll be back in about 3.5 minutes. 800-313-9443.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.